Welcome to the sixth session of our survey of the New Testament.
Wilujeng sumping dina sesi nu kagenep pelajaran urang ngeunaan survei perjanjian anyar.
We've covered six books thus far. Today we're going to cover quite a few more.
Urang parantos ngabahas genep buku. Ayeuna urang bade ngabahas deui.
We've already looked at the four books that tell us the story of Jesus.
Urang parantos ningal opat buku nu nyarioskeun carita ngeunaan Yesus.
The story by Matthew, who is one of the 12 disciples, talks about Jesus as the king.
Matius nyarioskeun salah sahiji murid anu nyarioskeun ngeunaan Yesus eta raja.
And then Mark, a young man, a disciple, tells us the story of Jesus as the suffering servant.
Markus saurang jajaka, saurang murid nyaritakeun ngeunaan Yesus salaku hamba anu disiksa.
Dr. Luke, a Gentile, told the story of Jesus from the perspective of a very compassionate Savior. Jesus is the Savior of all mankind.
Dr. Lukas saurang anu sanes Yahudi nyaritakeun caritaan ngeunaan Yesus nu perspektif juru salamet anu ngagaduhan welas asih.
And John, another of one of the 12 disciples, tells the story of Jesus as the divine Messiah.
Yohanes murid sanes di antara 12 murid nyarioskeun carita Yesus selaku Mesias Ilahi.
And then based on this story of Jesus,
sareng numutkeun carita Yesus ieu,
we have the story of the birth and growth of the church.
Urang ngagaduhan carita ngeunaan kelahiran sareng tumuwuhna gereja.
The Acts of the Apostles tells us how Jesus' ministry expanded through his followers.
Kisah Rasul masih terang ka urang kumaha pelayanan Yesus ngalegaan ngalangkungan para pengikutna.
It began in Jerusalem.
Jadi kawitan ti Yerusalem.
And spread out to Judea.
Nyebar ka Yudea.
Into Samaria and then on to the ends of the earth.
Ka Samaria teras ka tungtung dunya.
And it came even to you and to me.
Sareng eta dugi ka saderek sareng ka abdi.
We who live a long distance from Jerusalem.
Urang nu jauh ti Yerusalem.
And at another time in history.
Dina zaman sanes dina sejarah.
Faithful followers of Jesus Christ have brought the gospel to us.
Nu ngiring ka Yesus nu satia parantos nyandak Injil ka urang.
And so freely we've received and so freely we want to give.
Sareng urang parantos nampina secara gratis, sareng kumargi hoyong ngabagina secara gratis.
We want to give the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Urang bakal ngabagikeun Injil Yesus Kristus.
So in the book of Romans, Paul begins his first of 13 letters telling us what the gospel is all about.
Dina kitab Roma, Paulus ngawitan seratna, ngawitan 13 serat anu nyaritakeun ka urang Injil.
It's a gospel of grace, not works.
Ieu nyaeta hiji Injil anugrah sanes padamelan.
It's based on what God has done, not what we have done.
Numutkeun naon nu Allah parantos pidamel sanes naon anu parantos urang pidamel.
And to be received as a free gift by faith in the one who won it for us, Jesus Christ.
Ieu ditampi salaku pemasihan gratis numut iman di lebet anjeunna anu parantos menangkeun hal eta kanggo urang Kristus.
Now, in this session we want to look at three more letters that Paul wrote to believers.
Ayeuna dina sesi ieu urang bakal ningali dina tilu surat Paulus dina nu nulis jalma-jalma percanten.
Two letters that he wrote to a church at Corinth in Greece.
Dua surat nu ditulis ku hiji gereja di Korintus di Yunani.
And then a letter that he wrote to the churches in a province called Galatia in central Turkey.
Hiji surat anu ditulis ku gereja-gereja di hiji provinsi nu disebat Galilea di Turki Tengah.
Just because people believe in Jesus doesn't mean that they have no problems.
Mungku karana jalma-jalma percanten Yesus sanes hartosna yen maranehna nu ngagaduan masalah.
Have you discovered that?
Nah, saderek parantos terang.
You haven't arrived, you're not perfect.
Geacan rengse saderek.
Oh yes, you're different.
Sampurna, saderek benten.
But you still have some challenges.
Saderek masih mayunan sababar tantangan.
Such was the case at the church at Corinth.
Itu persoalan di gereja di Korintus.
Corinth is located here in southern Greece.
Korintus di Yunani Selatan.
It was a very important commercial center.
Nyaeta pusat dagang anu penting pisan.
It was noted for its cosmopolitan groups of people. People lived there from many different cultures.
Dicatet kumargi kelompok jalma-jalma kosmopolitan, jalma-jalma nulingi nu asalna di kabudayaan benten.
It was a resort center.
Dinu pusatna para wisata.
It was also noted for its rather open, loose living.
Dicatet kumargi kota ieu rada kabukti hirup bebas.
In fact, if you wanted to say someone was an immoral person, you called them a Corinthian.
Upami saderek hoyong nyarioskeun salah saurang eta jalma anu ngagaduhan moral saderek nyebatkeun urang Korintus.
But Paul had brought the gospel to this important city on his second missionary journey.
Paulus parantos nyandak Injil ka kota anu penting ieu dina perjalanan misi anu kadua.
And the church living in such a society had a few problems that Paul is writing about.
Sareng gereja hirup di masyarakat sapertos kitu ngagaduhan sababaraha masalah anu dibahas Paulus.
Let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians in our Bibles.
Urang tingali sesarengan kitab hiji Korintus dina kitab suci urang.
Now there are actually 10 different problems that Paul has to deal with in the Corinthian church.
Aya 10 masalah nu benten nu Paulus kedatangani di gereja Korintus.
And it has to do largely with the fact that they had to live in a very difficult immoral society.
Seseurna aya kaitanana sareng fakta yen maranehna kada hirup dina situasi anu hese dina masyarakat nu ngagaduhan moral.
Now I'm going to summarize what Paul has to say in dealing with these 4 challenges in the church with 4 words.
Ulah bakal ngaringkeskeun naon anu ku Paulus dicarioskeun dina nanganan 4 tantangan di lebet gereja nu kapal.
The first word is the matter of unity.
Nu kahijinya eta masalah persatuan.
Look in chapter 1, verse 12 and 13.
Tingali pasal hiji ayat 12 sareng 13.
Paul writes these words.
Paulus nuliskeun cariosan-cariosan.
One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas, which is Peter. Still another says, I follow Christ.
Nu dimaksadnya eta yen anjeunna masing-masing nyarios, kami ti golongan Paulus atanapi kami ti golongan Apollos atanapi kami ti golongan Kepas atanapi kami ti golongan Kristus.
Listen to Paul's questions.
Dangukeun patarosan-patarosan Paulus.
Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul?
Nah ya Kristus dibagi-bagi, nah ya Paulus disalib, kumargi anjeun, anak tempinah anjeun dibaptis di lebet Paulus.
What is the answer to those 3 questions?
Naon waleran kanggo katilu patrosan ieu?
No, no, no.
Henteu, henteu.
No.
Henteu.
Paul was not crucified for them. No, Christ is not divided. No, you were not baptized in the name of Paul.
Paulus teu disalibkeun kanggo maranehna. Teu, Kristus teu dibagi-bagi. Henteu, anjeun teu dibaptis di lebet nami Paulus.
There is but one Savior who died for all of you.
Mung hiji juru salamet anu pupus kanggo anjeun sadaya.
So why do you divide yourself up into groups and become followers of men?
Nah, maraneh ngabagi-bagi diri aranjeun di lebet golongan-golongan sareng janten pengikut.
Paul will say, we are simply servants of Jesus Christ.
Paulus nyarios urang mung hamba-hamba Yesus Kristus.
I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow.
Kami nu melak, Apollos nu nyiram, tapi Allah anu masian tumbuhna.
So let's get our eyes up a little higher on the one who's responsible for what you're seeing.
Mangga saseurang ningali ka tempat nu langkung luhur, ka anjeunna nu ngagaduhan tanggung jawab.
Why is this theme so important of unity?
Nah, tema persatuan ieu sakitu pentingna.
Because God is one.
Margi Allah mung hiji.
If we're going to reflect God and his nature, then we need to be one.
Urang tiasa ngarenungkeun Allah sareng sifatna, urang kedah ngahiji.
Remember Jesus' prayer the night before he died?
Emut kadoa Yesus dina wengi satacana anjeunna pupus.
I pray that they may be one as you, Father, and I are one.
Kami ngadoa supados maranehna janten hiji sami sapertos anjeun sareng abdi ngahiji.
That the world may believe.
Supados dunya percanten.
By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love each other.
Itu sadaya jalma bakal terang yen anjeun murid-murid kami nyata upami anjeun silipikanya.
An army wins better when they are fighting the enemy, not each other.
Hiji angkatan bersenjata kenging langkung sae. Waktos maranehna gelut ngalawan musuh sanes ngalawan usanes.
Now there are 23,800 denominations in the world today.
Ayeuna aya 23,800 dominasi di dunya ieu.
Now God is not against denominations.
Allah tenentang denominasi.
He's against denominationalism where they fight each other.
Anjeuna nentang denominasialisme di mana marane gelut hiji jeung sanesna.
Denominations are like tribes in Israel.
Denominasi saperta suku-suku di Israel.
There were 12 different tribes.
12 membenten.
Diversity is okay.
Perpecahan sah-sah wae.
As long as we don't fight.
Sepanjang urang teu gelut.
But that to unite is important.
Hiji nu penting.
Because then it reflects what our Savior is like, what God is like.
Umargi ieu mancarkeun juru salamet urang sapertos naon Allah nu sorangan.
And it helps the gospel more effectively be communicated when we do it together rather than when we fight.
Ieu nulungan Injil langkung efektif dikomunikasikeun waktos urang medamal sasarengan tibatan waktos urang.
So Paul has to deal with the theme of unity in the church.
Paulus kedah nangani tema persatuan di lebet gereja.
Don't divide what Jesus died to unite.
Tong dipisahkeun naon anu ku Yesus dihijikeun ngalangkungan pupusna.
His second word to the church at Corinth is purity.
Terus anu kadua kanggo gereja di Korintus nyaeta kakudusan.
Again, it's reflecting God's nature.
Hal ieu memancarkeun sifat Allah.
Be holy, for I am holy.
Nya kudus anjeun sabab kami pangeran Allah kudus.
Now because they lived in a very immoral society.
Ayeuna kumargi marana hirup di tengah-tengah masyarakat nu teu ngagaduhan moral.
There were some in the church that believed that they now had been made free in Christ.
Sababaraha jalmi di gereja nu percanten yeun maranehna ayeuna parantos dibebaskeun di lebet Kristus.
The stomach is for food.
Patuangan dilebetkan patuangan.
So the body must be for sex.
Awak kedah dianggo kaperluan seks.
Now that's not proper thinking.
Ieu sanes cara ngemot nu leres.
Paul says, this is why.
Paulus nyarios ieu sababna.
Turn to chapter 6.
Ningali pasal 6.
Verse 18 through 20.
Ayat 18 dugi ka 20.
Listen to the words of the apostle.
Dengukeun sariosan-sariosan rasul ieu.
Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body.
Jauhkeun diri aranjeun ti percabulan, setiap dosa sejen dilakukeun manusia kajantenan di luar dirina. Tapi jalma nu ngalakukeun percabulan dosa ka dirina nyalira.
Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God?
Nah saderek keterang yen awak anjeun teh bait Roh Kudus anu aya di jero anjeun, Roh Kudus na anjeunna teh kenging ti Allah.
You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body.
Sareng yen anjeun sanes milik anjeun nyalira, sabab anjeun parantos dipeser, sareng hargana parantos lunas dibayar kumargi eta, muyakeun Allah ngalangkungan awak anjeun.
Be holy as God is holy.
Nya kudus anjeun sabab kami pangeran Allah kudus.
That's the second word that comes to the church.
Nya ieu kecap kadua nu penting kanggo gereja.
Be one.
Kirang hiji.
Be holy.
Janten kudus.
The third word that comes is love.
Kecap anu katilu nu penting nyaeta kanyaah.
Now the interesting thing in the church at Corinth was that they had many gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Hal-hal nu narik ngeunaan gereja di Korintus nyaeta yen maranehna ngagaduhan seueur karunia Roh Kudus.
And to do the ministry of Christ, we must have these gifts.
Sareng kanggo midamel pelayanan Kristus urang kedah ngagaduhan karunia-karunia ieu.
Provided that they build up the church and not divide and tear it down.
Karunia ieu disayogikeun supados maranehna ngabangun gereja sareng teu ngancurkeunana.
So Paul has to talk at length about using the gifts of the Spirit to build up, to love the church rather than to tear it down.
Paulus ngabahas panjang lebar ngeunaan kanggo karunia-karunia Roh kanggo ngawangun mikasih gereja tibatan ngaruntukeun.
Turn with me to chapter 12, verse 31.
Tingali pasal 12, ayat 31.
Paul asks the questions about, do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret tongues? No, no, no.
Paulus naros ngeunaan Nah, sadaya ngagaduhan karunia-karunia ngadamangkeun, nah sadaya nyareos dina bahasa roh, nah sadaya nafsirkeun bahasa roh, henteu.
Everybody has different gifts.
Unggal jalmi ngagaduhan karunia anu benten.
So therefore, eagerly desire the gifts that will build people up.
Kumarga eta kedah hoyong karunia-karunia anu bakal ngawangun urang.
In verse 31, they're called the greater gifts.
In ayat 31 eta disebat karunia langkung utama.
Not better, but greater.
Karena selangkung saya, tapi langkung utami.
Greater in building up the body of Christ.
Langkung utami tibatan ngabangun salira Kristus.
And then notice the last part of verse 31.
Perhatoskan bagian akhir dina ayat 31.
And now I will show you the most excellent way.
Kami nujukan ke aranjen jalan anu langkung utama.
Be like Jesus.
Mangga urang saperos Kristus.
Let the gifts of the Holy Spirit become the avenues of God's love.
Engke wae karunia-karunia Roh Kudus sapertos jalan-jalan nu lega di kanya Allah.
If you speak in tongues,
pamisa daret nyareos dina bahasa roh,
you have to build up.
Pidamel eta kanggo ngabangun.
If you have the gift of prophecy,
daret ngagaduhan karunia kanggo nubuat,
then prophesy to build up.
Jantenkeun nubuat eta kanggo ngabangun.
See, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are simply the means by which God's love gets from Him to needy people.
Karunia-karunia Roh Kudus secara sederhana hartosna kumakanya Allah tiasa dugi ka jalma-jalma.
Why did Jesus heal the sick?
Yesus ngadamangkeun nu sadamang.
Because He had compassion on them.
Nya ngagaduan welas asih ka maranehna.
So, Lord, give us that kind of loving compassion for people.
Pangeran masihan ka urang kanya anu ngagaduan welas asih ka jalma.
Then the gifts will come so that our compassion can flow to those people.
Karunia-karunia baris dongkap teras welas asih urang tiasa ngalir ka jalma-jalma.
Because God's love comes through to them.
Kumargikanya Allah sapertos ngalir ka manehna.
So it's not a matter of gifts or love.
Ieu sanes soal karunia atanapi kanya.
It's the loving use of gifts.
Nyaeta kanggo karunia kanya.
We need both.
Urang meryogikeun duanana.
You can't fly an airplane with one wing.
Daderek teu tiasa ngapungkeun pesawat terbang hiji jangjang.
You need two wings.
Ngabutuhkeun dua jangjang.
Every bird has two wings.
Manuk ngagaduhan dua jangjang.
The gifts of the Spirit.
Karunia-karunia Roh.
And the fruit of love.
Sareng buah Roh.
They go together.
Maranehna mios sasarengan.
Some of us perhaps have been off on one extreme.
Berarti orang penginten langkung mentingkan di hiji secara ekstrim.
What we need to do is be balanced.
Namun orang butuhkannya tak keseimbangan.
And fly straight.
Ngapungna lempeng.
So, let's use the gifts of the Spirit as channels of God's love.
Mangga urang ngangge karunia Roh selaku saluran-saluran tikanya Allah.
He also has a word to say about the Lord's Supper.
Anjeun oge ngagaduhan hiji kecap kanggo ngadugikeun ngeunaan perjamuan pangeran.
This is in chapter 11, verse 17.
Ieu aya di Lebet pasal 12 ayat 17.
They had disorder at that point too.
Maranehna oge lepat dina hal ieu.
It says your meetings do more harm than good.
Dicarioskeun riungan-riungan anjeun teu ngadongkapkeun kahadean tapi ngadongkapkeun kaunan.
How would you like that set of our meetings?
Kumaha pendapat saderek ngeunaan naon anu dicarioskeun?
They do more harm than good.
Riungan-riungan eta nu teu ngadongkapkeun kahadean ngadongkapkeun kaunan. Nah,
what was the problem?
Naon masalahna?
Well, back then, whenever they had the Lord's Supper, they had it in the context of a meal together.
Dina jaman eta waktu maranehna ngayakeun perjamuan pangeran, maranehna ngayakeun di lebet konteks suang sasarengan.
And it says in verse 20,
tarang dicarioskeun dina ayat 20,
that when you come together, you don't wait for each other.
Pami anjeun ngariung, anjeun tekurungan tosan, nusanesna.
Probably what was happening is that the people who were more well-to-do came early and brought much food.
Pangitan nu kajantenan nyaeta jalma-jalma anu langkung kacukupan dongkap langkung awal sareng nyandak sirtuangan.
But the poor people, many of whom were servants and slaves, had to work late, so they got there later.
Jalma-jalma miskin seueur di antara para pelayan sareng hamba kedah didamel dugi ka satengah wengi sareng maranehna dongkapna telat.
And by the time they arrived, most of the food was gone.
Sareng dina waktos maranehna sumping seueurna tuangan parantosan.
And then they had the Lord's Supper to say we're all one in Christ.
Maranehna ngayakeun perjamuan pangeran sareng nyarioskeun ka urang sadaya nya eta hiji di lebet
Kristus. Paul says this can't go on.
Paul nyarioskeun teu aya terasna.
You must learn to discern the body.
Anjeun kedah diajar ngabentenkeun soal badan.
Yes, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you are celebrating.
Badan sareng getih Yesus Kristus nuku anjeun diarayakeun.
But also the body of Christ that is around you.
Tapi oge badan Kristus nu aya di sakurilingan anjeun.
Because if you don't do that, you'll bring judgment on yourself.
Margi upami anjeun teu didamel eta, anjeun bakal ngadatangkeun hukuman.
Again, the issue is unity.
Topikna persatuan.
Anything that breaks the unity causes great problem of havoc in the body of Christ.
Naon wae anu ngancurkeun persatuan ngakibatkeun masalah-masalah ageung atanapi malapetaka di lebet salira Kristus.
So we want to be one as our heavenly Father is one.
Urang hoyong persatuan sakumaha Bapa surgawi urang ge hiji.
Four words concerning problems in the church.
Obat kecap ngeunaan masalah-masalah di gereja.
Unity,
persatuan.
Purity,
kekudusan.
Love,
kanyaa.
And now truth.
Sareng ayeuna bebeneran.
In chapter 15, Paul talks about the teaching concerning the resurrection.
Dina pasal 15, Paulus ngabahas ajaran ngeunaan kabangkitan.
A typical Greek attitude was is there is no resurrection.
Dijeuna urang Yunani ngagaduan pendapat teu aya kabangkitan.
Remember we learned in our session on the Gospel of John that Greek philosophy understood this material world to be evil.
Emut waktu urang diajar dina sesi kitab Injil Yohanes yen filsafat Yunani nganggap dunia materi teh jahat.
So some drew the conclusion that Jesus would not have been resurrected back into a material body.
Sababara urang nyanda kasimpulan yen Yesus teu gugah deui di lebet hiji awak jasmani.
So, they were denying there was a resurrection.
Janten maranehna nolak ayana kabangkitan.
There is no such thing as resurrection.
Teu aya hal sapertos kabangkitan.
Why would anybody want to come back into this world into a physical body?
Nah, ya jalma anu hoyong dongkap ka dunya ieu di lebet awak jasmani.
And so if there's no resurrection, then Jesus didn't rise from the dead.
Janten upami teu aya kabangkitan, hartosna Yesus teu gugah.
Yes, there were people at Corinth teaching this.
Aya jalmi-jalmi di Korintus nu ngajar ieu.
Now look what Paul says.
Tingali naon nu Paulus sareskeun.
In chapter 15, verse 12.
Dina pasal 15, ayat 12.
Paul says, if Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection?
Paulus nyaraskeun upami Kristus parantos gugah tinu pupusna, kumaha sababaraha urang di antara anjeunna nyaraskeun yen teu aya kabangkitan.
Paul says if there is no resurrection then several things are true.
Paulus nyaraskeun upami teu aya kabangkitan aya sababaraha hal nu leres.
Christ has not been raised.
Kristus teu dibangkitkeun.
Therefore our preaching is useless.
Kumargi eta wawaran urang teh sia-sia.
And our faith is in vain.
Sareng iman urang gaplah.
Furthermore, we're false witnesses because we said Christ was raised.
Tangkung jauh deui urang teh saksi palsu kumargi urang nyareoskeun yen Kristus digugahkeun.
And if Christ has not been raised, you're still in your sins.
Sareng upami Kristus teu digugahkeun, hartosna anjeun masih hirup di lebet dosa.
And those believers who have died will never rise again.
Jalma-jalma persanten ieu saparantos maot sareng moal pernah gugah deui.
Now comes one of the biggest small words in the entire Bible.
Ayeuna waktuna hiji ti dawuhan anu pangagengna di lebet sakuliah kitab suci.
It's in verse 20.
Aya di lebet ayat 20.
But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead.
Tapi Kristus saleresna parantos digugahkeun tina pupusna.
There's the word. But he has been raised.
Nya ieu dawuhanna tapi anjeunna parantos gugah.
He is the first fruits of those that sleep.
Anjeunna nyaeta buah kahiji di antawis maranehna anu maot.
As in Adam, all will die.
Di lebet Adam, sadayana bakal maut.
But in Christ, all will rise.
Tapi di lebet Kristus, sadayana bakal gugah.
But each in their own order.
Tapi tiap-tiap orang nurutkan urutana.
Christ, the first fruits.
Kristus nyaeta buah nu ngawitan.
And then we who are His at His coming.
Saparantos eta maranehna nu janten milikna dina waktos kasumpinganana.
Look at verse 24.
Tingali dina ayat 24.
When this happens.
Waktos hal ieu kajantenan.
When Christ returns and we rise in resurrection.
Kristus sumping deui sareng urang digugahkeun.
Then the end will come.
Saparantos sumping akhirna.
And he hands the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power.
Anjeunna masrahkeun kerajaan ka Allah Bapa, saparantos anjeunna ngabinasakeun sagala pamarentah, kakawasan, jeung kakuatan. Haleluya.
Therefore our labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Kumargi kitu pelayanan urang di lebet Pangeran teu sia-sia.
We serve a living God.
Urang ngalayanan Allah nu hirup.
We serve a living Christ.
Urang ngalayanan Kristus nu hirup.
A living Jesus for a dying world.
Da urang Yesus nu hirup kanggo dunya anu nuju binasa.
For the resurrection is the heart of the gospel.
Kumargi kabangkitan nyaeta inti Injil.
And because Christ has risen from the dead.
Sareng kumargi Kristus parantos digugahkeun tina pupusna.
We can be absolutely certain that all who have died in Him shall rise also from the dead.
Kurang tiasa mutlak yakin yen sadaya anu maraot di lebetna oge bakal digugahkeun tina mautna.
And when that happens, death will have been swallowed up in victory.
Sareng waktos ieu kajantenan maut anu bakal diteleg ku kamenangan.
Look at verse 55 in chapter 15.
Tingali dina ayat 55 dina pasal 15.
Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?
Hei maut, di mana kemenangan anjeun? Hei mautnya di mana sengat anjeun?
The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law.
Sengat maut nyaeta dosa sareng kawasa dosa nyaeta hukum Toret.
But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Tapi sadeui sugnangan ku Yesus Kristus Pangeran urang.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is the difference in the Christian faith from all other religions.
Nya ieu nu ngabedakeun antara iman Kristen ti sadaya agama nu sanes.
Buddhist grave occupied.
Kuburan Buddha ya Eusian.
Confucius grave occupied.
Kuburan Konghucu ya Eusian.
Muhammad's grave occupied.
Kuburan Muhammad ya Eusian.
Jesus grave empty.
Kuburan Yesus mah kosong.
Alive forevermore.
Hirup salalamina.
He has conquered death.
Anjeunna parantos ngalahkeun maut.
He has conquered the penalty of sin, death.
Parantos ngalahkeun hukuman dosa maut.
He has conquered the author of sin, Satan.
Parantos ngalahkeun nu ngadamel dosa setan.
A decisive victory has been won.
Kemenangan nu nangtukeun parantos dicapai.
The tide of the war has changed.
Pasang jeung surut perang parantos robah.
We shall win.
Kurang bakal kenging.
Because he has won.
Kumargi anjeunna parantos kenging.
That's the message we have today.
Ieu amanat urang.
For our dying world.
Kanggo dunya anu nuju binasa.
Amen.
Amin.
Let's look now at 2 Corinthians.
Tingali dina 2 Korintus.
Now in our Bibles we call it Corinthians number 2.
Dina kitab suci eta urang bakal nyebat eta 2 Korintus.
Actually Paul probably wrote 4 letters to the church at Corinth.
Salarasna Paulus panginten nulis 4 serat ka gereja di Korintus.
But we only have 2.
Tapi urang munggadu 2.
So we call them 1 and 2 Corinthians.
Nya kitu urang nyebatna ngawitan sareng 2 Korintus.
2 Corinthians probably is 4 Corinthians.
2 Korintus panginten aya 4 Korintus.
Paul wrote more letters to this church in Corinth than any other church.
Paulus nulis langkung seueur serat ka gereja ieu di Korintus dibandingkeun jeung gereja sanes.
They had so many problems.
Maranehna ngagaduhan sakitu seueurna masalah.
But God doesn't mind if we have problems.
Tapi Allah teu kaberatan upami urang ngagaduhan masalah.
Everybody has problems.
Urang ngagaduhan masalah.
The question is, what are we going to do about them?
Patarasanana nyaeta naon bakal urang pidamel dina masalah.
There are answers in the gospel of grace.
Aya waleran di lebet Injil anugrah.
Now, 2 Corinthians is a very interesting epistle.
2 Korintus nyaeta serat anu matak narik pisan.
It probably was written about a year to a year and a half after 1 Corinthians.
Panginten ditulis sataun atanapi sataun satengah saparantos hiji Korintus.
Paul has had some of his co-workers like Titus go back and visit the church.
Paulus parantos ngutus rerancanganana saumurna sapertos Titus kanggo uih deui ka ngun.
And when he hears his report, he's very happy. Most of the Corinthians have responded to what he said. And so he writes his letter of 2 Corinthians that we call 2 Corinthians.
Sang janten anjeunna nulis saratna 2 Korintus.
And commends them for what has happened.
Rangomentaran maranehna kunaon anu parantos kana.
Then the last part of the letter he has to talk about those who are still resisting his authority as an apostle.
Tapi terus di bagian akhir serat anjeunna kada nyarios ngeunaan manehna anu masih nampik otoritas selaku seorang rasul.
Look in chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians.
Tingali dina pasal 7 ti 2 Korintus.
He says something very beautiful.
Anjeunna nyarioskeun hiji hal anu kalintang ngeunaan.
His letter had caused them to sorrow with a godly sorrow.
Keratna parantos ngakibat kemaranana sedih nurutkeun kayong Allah.
Let me read the last part of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 9.
Idinkeun abdi ngaos bagian akhir ti 2 Korintus pasal 7 ayat 8.
For you became sorrowful as God intended, so were not harmed in any way by us.
Nu jadi kabunga simkuring ayeuna lain dume aranjeun nalangsa tapi aranjeun jadi eling.
Then the next verse.
Lajeng salajengna.
Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death.
Nalangsa anu sapuk jeung pangersalah mah nuntun kana pertobatan, matak jamuga sabalikna nalangsa kulantaran barang dunya dipaeheun.
And then verse 11 he talks about see what the godly sorrow has brought about in your fellowship.
Dina ayat 11 anjeunna nyarios ngeunaan kasedihan nurutkeun ka hoyong Allah anu parantos nyandak anjeunna dina riungan sareng Allah.
Nothing is more encouraging than when children respond to the instructions and corrections of their parents.
Daya nu langkung ngagengkeun hate tibatan waktos barudak nanggapan instruksi sareng koreksi ti sepuhna.
A new depth of relationship opens up.
Hiji hubungan enggal anu jero ku dikawitan.
Obedience causes hearts to be united.
Ketaatan ngakibatkeun hate dihijikeun.
And so Paul, like a father in the faith, begins to open his heart now in this second letter of Corinthians.
Paulus sapertos saurang bapa dina iman ngawitan muka hatena ayeuna dina serat 2 Korintus.
And he begins to share with them at a very personal level.
Anjeunna ngawitan ngabagikeun kamaranehna secara pribadi pisan.
And he talks to them about his ministry.
Anjeunna nyarios kamaranehna ngeunaan pelayanan.
Why he does what he does.
Nah, anjeunna midamel naon anu dipidamelna.
And how he loves them.
Tereng kumaha anjeunna mikasih kamaranehna.
Listen to him in chapter 3.
Dengukeun anjeunna dina pasal 3.
Verse 2 and 3.
Ayat 2 sareng 3.
2 Corinthians 3, 2 and 3.
2 Korintus 3 ayat 2 sareng 3.
You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody.
Surat kan raja sasim kuring mah kapan aranjeun buktina diukir dina ati tapi nyata sarta ka aji ku sadaya.
You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts.
Tegasna aranjeun teh suratna Kristus nu dikirim ka sim kuring dituliskeun lain ku mangsi tapi ku roh Allah anu jumeneng jeung lain dina papan batu tapi dina hate manusia ditulisna.
Paul is speaking of the fact that he doesn't need any letters of recommendation the changed lives of the Corinthians are proof enough.
Paulus nyarios ngeunaan fakta yen anjeunna teu meriogikeun surat rekomendasi naon wae perubahan hirup jalma-jalma Korintus parantos cekap janten bukti.
What recommends and validates ministry are changed lives.
Naon nu ngarekomendasikeun sareng ngesahkeun pelayanan nyaeta hirup anu diubah.
We know that's true.
Kurang terang nyin ieu memang leres.
I have 4 children.
Abdi gaduh 4 anak.
I have 3 grandchildren.
Abdi gaduh 3 incu.
And now we're seeing the transformation of the gospel not only happening in the first generation, my life, my wife's life.
Ayeuna urang ningali perubahan kumargi Injil temung kajantenan di generasi nu ngawitan kahirupan abdi sareng pun bojo.
We're now seeing it in the second generation with our 4 children.
Urang nuju ningali hal eta dina generasi kadua ku kaopat putra abdi.
And here's the validation of the power of the gospel.
Sareng kawasa Injil masih berlaku.
Our children are living epistles.
Barudak abdi teh nyaeta surat-surat nu hirup.
Not a credit to us.
Danes kanggo angkuh.
We like Paul are simply ministers of the new covenant.
Sapertos Paulus mung pelayan-pelayanan perjanjian nu anyar.
But it works.
Tapi ieu berhasil.
The new covenant is in our hearts.
Perjanjian anyar ieu dilebet hate-hate abdi.
And now we are seeing our children love God from their hearts.
Ayeuna urang nuju ningali barudak urang mikaasih Allah ti hate aranjeunna.
Not because they have to, because mom and dad are still there.
Geus kumargi maranehna kedah, kumargi ibu sareng bapana di dieu.
They're serving Christ and none of them even live close to us.
Maranehna nuju ngalayanan Kristus teh saurang oge anu caket.
That's the new covenant.
Ieu teh perjanjian anyar.
Written in the heart.
Ieu diserat di lebet hate.
Now we're watching them bring their children to Christ.
Abdi nuju nyaksikeun maranehna nyandak barudak maranehna ka Kristus.
See, this is what Paul's talking about.
Ya, ieu naon ku Paulus caroskeun.
It's the joy of a father seeing the reproduction of spiritual life in his offspring.
Jika bunga bapa ningali reproduksi kahirupan rohani dina inju-injuna.
Now Paul has to speak about some who have not responded to his instruction.
Paulus nyaros ngeunaan sababaraha jalma anu teu nanggapan instruksi-instruksina.
There have been so-called false apostles.
Maranehna disebut rasul-rasul palsu.
Who have led God's people astray at Corinth.
Menyesatkan umat Allah di Korintus.
And Paul said one of the 2 things that indicates the false apostle is first of all they are unwilling to suffer for the cross of Christ.
Paulus nyaraskeun hiji tina 2 hal anu ngaindikasikeun naon rasul palsu eta. Anu ngawitan maranehna teu hoyong nyiksa kanggo salib.
Furthermore, they do not have the confirming evidence of signs and wonders.
Langkung jauh deui maranehna teu ngagaduan bukti tanda-tanda sareng padamelan ajaib anu neguhkeun.
Lives are not being transformed.
Hirup teu dirobih.
Paul says, I have had to suffer all things for the sake of Christ.
Paulus nyarios geus ngarandapan susah tinu sagala
kamari. Chapter 11 he talks about his many sufferings.
Lewat pasal 12 anjeunna nyarios ngeunaan seur penderitaan.
But Paul is not trying to elicit sympathy and saying, oh, feel sorry for me. I've suffered so much for Christ.
Paulus teu usaha nginginkeun simpati sareng nyarios pikaruanyaeun parantosna langsa kanggo Kristus.
No, he is saying, I am grateful for these sufferings.
Henteu, anjeunna nyarios abdi ngucap syukur kanggo sadayana.
Apparently, Paul even had a thorn in the flesh, which was some kind of a physical affliction.
Tapi ngalina Paulus ngagaduhan cucuk dina dagingnya eta sami sareng siksaan jasmani.
It was caused by a messenger of Satan.
Jadi sababkeun ku saurang utusan iblis.
Look at verse 8, 9, and 10 in chapter 12.
Dina ayat 8, 9, sareng 10 dina pasal 12.
3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me.
Ngeunaan hal eta abdi parantos 3 kali ngageroan ka pangeran supados utusan iblis
ka mundur. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Paleran pangerannya cukup kanya karunia kami kanggo anjeun, sabab justru dina kalemahan kawasa kami jadi sampurna.
Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.
Eta langkung resep abdi megah diluhureun kalemahan abdi supados kawasa Kristus lungsur naungan abdi.
Now he defines his thorn in the flesh.
Ayeuna anjeunna negaskeun ngeunaan cucuk di lebet dagingna.
That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for when I am weak, then I am strong.
Kumargi kitu abdi binga sareng rela di lebet kelemahan, di lebet siksaan, di lebet kesukaran, di lebet penganiayaan, sareng kasesakan kumargi Kristus, upami abdi lemah maka abdi kuat.
Perhaps some of you have suffered for the cause of Christ.
Panginten sababaraha di antara saderek parantos kasiksa kumargi Kristus.
It's caused great physical weakness in your body.
Ieu parantos nyababkeun kelemahan jasmani anu hebat di awak saudara.
Rejoice.
Sing gembira.
In these weaknesses.
Di lebet kelemahan-kelemahan.
This is an opportunity for Christ to show his strength.
Hiji kesempatan kanggo Kristus kanggo nunjukkeun kekuatanana.
For we have this treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels.
Kumargi urang ngagaduhan harta Injil ieu dina bejana tanah liat.
So the excellency of the glory and power might be of God and not of us.
Janten sagala kamulyaan sareng kawasa anu asalna ti Allah sareng nu teu asalna ti kami.
With this, Paul concludes his letter.
Sareng ieu Paulus nyimpulkeun saratna.
Let's look now at the letter to the Galatians.
Urang tingali sarat ka jemaat di Galatia.
Now the letter to the Galatians is not to one church, it's to a group of churches in a whole province.
Sarat ka jemaat Galatia sanes ditujukeun ka hiji gereja, ieu nyaeta ka kelompok gereja-gereja di sadaya provinsi.
These would have been the churches that Paul established on his first missionary journey.
Nyaeu gereja-gereja anu Paulus dirikeun dina perjalanan misi anu ngawitan.
As he was with the apostle Barnabas in south central part of Turkey.
Waktu anjeunna aya di dinya sasarengan Rasul Barnabas di selatan di pusat kota Turki.
Now the spirit of the book of Galatians is very, I would say, hot.
Tah sumanget dina kitab Galatia nyaeta tiasa abdi nyareoskeun, panas.
Paul is very concerned about what's happening with the Galatians.
Paulus prihatin pisan kunaon nuju ka jantenan sareng jemaat-jemaat di Galatia.
Some Jewish believers have come from Jerusalem teaching Gentiles that they have to be circumcised in order to be saved.
Sababaraha urang nu percanten Yahudi dongkap ti Yerusalem ngajarkeun urang-urang anu sanes Yahudi yen maranehna kedah disunat supados diselametkeun.
They are adding to the gospel.
Maranehna nambah-nambah Injil.
It's called legalism.
Ieu disebut legalisme.
Oh, okay, believe in Jesus Christ.
Oke, okay, percanten ka Yesus Kristus.
But then keep the law too.
Tapi pidamel oge hukum Toret.
Paul is not happy with this.
Paulus teu resepeun.
In fact, in the first chapter, twice he says,
Faktana dina pasal hiji dua kali nyaroskeun.
If anyone is teaching this other gospel, let them be anathema.
Upama aya jalma nu ngawawarkeun ka anjeun hiji Injil nu benten sareng nano anu parantos anjeun tampi ka kutuk.
It's a strong word for condemnation.
Ieu nyaeta kecap anu kuat kanggo
panghukuman. So Paul begins to explain very clearly that the gospel that he preaches came from heaven, nowhere else.
Paulus ngawitan nerangkeun jelas pisan yen Injil anu ku anjeunna diwawarkeun asalna ti sorga sareng teu aya Injil nu sanes.
It is not a Jerusalem Jewish gospel.
Yesanes Injil Yerusalem, Injil Yahudi.
It is a gospel of grace.
Ieu nyaeta Injil anugrah.
It is a gospel based on what God has done, not a gospel of works based on what we have done.
Ieu nyaeta hiji Injil nurutkeun naon nu ku Allah pidama, sanes Injil padamelan hade numutkeun parantos pidama.
Listen to Paul in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3.
Dangukeun Paulus dina pasal 3 ayat 2 sareng 3.
Galatians 3 verses 2 and 3.
Galatia 3 ayat 2 sareng 3.
I would like to learn just one thing from you Galatians. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard?
Cik, ieu jawab. Aranjeun nepi ka bisa diancikan ku Roh Allah teh. Naha peda nurut kana parentah Toret atawa ku sabab percaya kana wawaran Injil.
Are you so foolish After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?
Ubarodo, geus alus aranjeun teh mimiti na hirup nurutkeun panuyun roh, na akhirna bet balik deui nurutkeun tabet manusa.
If you've received Christ by repentance and faith, then walk that way in Him.
Anjeun parantos nampi Kristus ku pertobatan sareng iman mangga mapah dina jalan eta di lebet anjeunna.
You were not saved by keeping the law, so you can't continue to walk that way by keeping the law.
Anjeun teu diselametkeun ku margi midamel hukum Toret, janten anjeun teu tiasa terap hirup ku cara ngalaksanakeun hukum Toret.
Well then why was the law necessary?
Mun, nah hukum Toret eta diperlukeun.
Paul makes it very clear down in chapter 3, verse
2. Paulus ngadamel ihal ieu jelas pisan dina pasal 3.
That the law was given so that we might be brought to Christ.
Yen hukum Toret dipasihan supados urang tiasa dicanda ka Kristus.
In verse 23 and 24.
Dina ayat 23 sareng 24.
Paul likens the law to a person who cares for a child.
Paulus nyamikeun hukum Toret sareng jalma anu miara hiji budak.
A custodian.
Jalma keung hak miara budak.
Who is to care for this child until this child is an adult.
Nalingakeun budak eta dugi ka budak eta janten dewasa.
To bring them to the place of maturity.
Kanggo mimpin maranehna ka arah kadewasaan.
So the law brought us to Christ.
Hukum Toret nungtun urang ka Kristus.
The law is a mirror.
Hukum Toret nyaeta enteung.
Showing us our sin.
Nunjukkeun urang kana dosa urang.
It is not soap that cleanses us from sin.
Kana sabun nu ngabersihan urang dosa.
It shows us our sin.
Ieu nunjukkeun ka urang dosa-dosa urang.
Which causes us to call out to the Savior.
Naon sabna urang menta pitulung ka Juru Salamet?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Naon tiasa ngumbah dosa-dosa urang nu teu aya hiji tiwal geti Yesus.
Anything else is inadequate.
Naon wae eta nu teu aya nu teu bisa.
So don't practice the law to keep your salvation.
Janten tong ngadamel hukum Toret kanggo kasalametan anjeun.
Oh, then the law has nothing to say to me.
Janten hukum Toret eta teu aya hartosna kanggo abdi.
Someone has said, love God and sin boldly.
Sapertos saurang parantos nyarios, pikasih Allah sareng kudu wani ngadamel dosa.
No, that's the other extreme.
Henteu, ieu biasa ekstrim sana.
The law is something that you now will fulfill because the new covenant has been written in your heart.
Hukumnya eta hiji hal nu kusadarek bakal ditaati kumargi perjanjian anyar parantos ditulis di lebet hate sadarek.
Listen to Paul in chapter 5 verses 13 and 14.
Yang ukun Paulus pasal 5 ayat 13 sareng 14.
Galatians 5:13 and 14.
Galatia 5 ayat 13 sareng 14.
You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love.
Kapan aranjeun mah dulur-dulur geus disaur ka alam merdeka. Cik, eta kamerdekaan teh ulah dipake nyimbutan lampa doraka. Anggur pake silih tulungan bari silih pikaheman.
The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Kapan perintah Toret oge kabehanana geus kawengku hiji timbalan unina kudu nyaah ka batur ti awak clear awak sorangan.
So he who uses his freedom in Christ to serve others.
Sareng anjeunna ngangge kamerdekaanana di lebet Kristus kanggo mikaasih jalma-jalma.
Will fulfill the very reason the law was given.
Bakal minuan alasan utami nah hukum ieu dipasikeun.
That they might love.
Pados maranehna tiasa mikaasih.
It's not keeping the law.
Ieu sanes nyepengan hukum eta.
It's fulfilling the law.
Nyaeta minuan hukum eta.
That's what the fruit of the Spirit does.
Ieu buah dihasilkeun ku roh.
Listen to Paul in chapter 5 verse 22.
Jangukeun Paulus dina pasal 5 ayat 22.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law.
Ari buah-buah padamelan rohnya eta. Kanyaan, gumbira, tengtrem hate, sabar, karunyaan, hade lampa, satia, darede, kuat, naham nafsu, kabe tayaanu, patong-tongong jeng hukum.
You have received Christ by faith.
Kadarek parantos nampi Kristus ku iman.
Walk by faith.
Jalan ku iman.
As Paul says in chapter 5, verse 6.
Terang Paulus nyaruskan dina pasal 5 ayat 6.
The only thing that counts is faith working by love.
Nu hartos namung iman nu didama ku kaasih.
That fulfills the law.
Yang wujudkan hukum.
Gentiles, you are freed from the law of Moses.
Urang-urang Yunani anjeunna dimerdekakeun ti hukum Musa.
Use that freedom to fulfill it.
Kamerekan eta kanggo minuhan hukum Kristus.
By loving your neighbor as yourself.
Kumi asih sasama sapertos diri anjeunna.
That's true freedom.
Nya ieu kamerdekaan sajati.
Free to do what God has called us to do.
Merdeka kanggo midamel sami sareng panggilan Allah.
Love him.
Ya, pika asih anjeunna.
Love one another.
Pika asih hiji sareng sajana.
For by this all will know that you are my disciples.
Itumna sada jalma bakal terang yen anjeunnya teu murid-murid kami.
May it be so. Amen.
Manawi ieu hal kajantenan. Amin.